In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We live in very uncertain times. In just the last few weeks, we've had a number of things that have happened that have driven home the point that our country is headed in a very bad direction. We had the Supreme Court overturn a law regarding abortion clinics in the state of Texas, which simply required that abortion clinics meet the same standards that other surgical facilities meet, but that was deemed to be too big of a burden to place on such things because the goal is to apparently kill as many babies as possible rather than to make sure that they're at least provided in a safe and hygienic way, which is contrary to the way that it often happens. And we've seen many cases like the Gosnell case where what we discover is that these abortionists are among the worst doctors. That's why many of them wind up in that field, and their practices are among the worst. And the state of Texas simply tried to make it a little bit more difficult for those kinds of doctors to function, and the Supreme Court said, no, that can't happen. And then they also decreed that a pharmacist does not have a right of conscience to refuse to sell abortifacient drugs. And so now, if you're a Christian pharmacist, you have to decide whether you want to continue on in the profession that you spent so many years training for or not. The number of jobs that a Christian of conscience can have has been rapidly shrinking. If you're a Christian and you don't want to participate in gay marriage, we've already discovered that you can't be a baker, you can't be a photographer for weddings, you can't be a county clerk, you can't be a municipal judge, and now we're adding pharmacists to the list. And you can be sure that there will be more jobs in the future that will be added. And then, right before the 4th of July, the Defense Department announced that they were going to be allowing transgendered soldiers to serve openly in the military. Those of you that are at least somewhat close to my age will remember the TV show MASH, where the ongoing side gag of the show was that you had this Corporal Klinger who kept dressing as a woman because he was hoping he was going to be found to be crazy and sent home because he didn't want to stay in a war zone. And they knew that that was why he was doing it, so they didn't send him home. But what's happening now is that kind of behavior is being declared to be normal, despite the fact that our military commanders have told the administration that this is going to cause all kinds of problems. In military personnel, they take showers together. They live together in close quarters, and you're now going to say that some man that thinks that he's a woman is going to be able to act as a woman and function as a woman among women, or vice versa? This is just crazy. And then also, our universities are increasingly becoming indoctrination centers rather than centers of free thought and learning. This last St. Herman's Day, I went up to the St. Herman's Conference in the Eastern Diocese and had a chance to talk to a number of young people who are in colleges, and several of them were talking about how you can't go to a class on architecture or some other subject in the university that they attend without the professor using the occasion to push the LGBT agenda, which reminds me of a Russian woman who grew up in Iran around the time of the Iranian Revolution. She was in college, and the Revolutionary Guard replaced most of the teachers with people who advocated their ideology, and I think she was in a trigonometry class, and the professor kept going on and on about the ideology of the Iranian state. She finally got up and said, can't we just study trigonometry? And she walked out, and most of the other students walked out with her, and then she was in prison. This is the kind of stuff that you encounter in states like the Soviet Union. This is becoming normal. And it's becoming normal because too many people have seen it coming, they've seen it creeping slowly, and they've allowed it to happen. We've allowed people who want to push this kind of stuff to get into positions of power. We've elected these people, and this is where we are as a nation. And now we have the state of California trying to impose the same kind of political correctness on even Christian universities. And so Christian universities in California are having to decide whether they're even going to remain in that state. But the problem is what if they move to another state? What if they even move to Texas? Who's to say that 20 years from now they won't encounter the same thing? And then just this week, we've had the horrible shooting in Dallas. which is in many ways the mirror image of the shooting that we had in Charleston. In the case of Charleston, we had a white supremacist who decided that any black person would do for him to kill. And in Dallas, we had a black nationalist who decided just the reverse, that any white cop would do. Didn't matter whether they were guilty or not. Didn't matter whether they were a good cop or a bad cop. He just wanted to kill white cops. And in their minds, they somehow managed to justify this. They managed to think that they were doing the moral thing, that they were justified, that they were doing the right thing. St. Anthony the Great once said, "A time is coming when men will go mad. And when they see someone who is not mad, they will attack him, saying, 'You are mad. You are not like us.'" Unfortunately, this is where we're at, really, in many cases, and it's becoming more and more true every day. The days of being a casual Christian in the United States of America are unfortunately over. If you were a person that was just going to go along with the general trend of society, and you know, once upon a time that meant that you were a Christian of some sort, you're not going to be a Christian anymore. You have to make a decision that you're going to stand for Christ and be willing to suffer, because that's what it means to be a Christian anymore. We can no longer ask God to bless America with a straight face. The only thing that we can pray is that the Lord will have mercy on America, because we, as a nation, are not doing even the slightest things that would approach actions that would warrant God's blessing. We are only engaged in actions that warrant God's judgment. And chief among these is the slaughter of the innocent in abortion in the United States. We have killed nearly 1 million babies a year in this country since abortion was made legal in the United States by judicial fiat by the Supreme Court. And unfortunately, at that time, we could have said, well, it was these justices that imposed it on us. We didn't have any say in the matter. But we've had an awful lot of time to have elected people who could have changed that. And unfortunately, we've elected people who've done just the opposite, that have entrenched that. And God, we're told in the Old Testament, destroyed the kingdom of Judah because chief among the sins that they committed was the sin of child sacrifice. And we're told that because of the innocent blood that King Manasseh in particular shed, God would not forgive. He would not pardon them, even though he was followed by a righteous king, King Josiah, who tried to turn things around, but God would not pardon that kingdom. Judgment was coming. And we, in many ways, are already beginning to experience judgment in this country. We can only ask that God would be merciful and that the judgment that we receive will be unto our correction and to our restoration as a nation rather than to our destruction. In the first gospel reading, we heard these words: "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single or whole, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" The fathers tell us that what Christ is saying here is using the image of our eyes as an image of the eye of our soul, which is our mind. And if our mind becomes darkened, our whole soul becomes very dark. We are becoming a nation where people more and more have turned their backs on God. They've turned a blind eye to God, and their eyes, the eyes of their soul, have become dark. St. Paul in Romans said of the ungodly, he said, "Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting." And then he goes on to list all the immorality that the pagans had been guilty of. The question for us is, what are we to do? It's a pretty dark picture, but we're not without hope. In the book of Proverbs, we're told that a wise man sees the day of evil and he prepares himself and he takes refuge, and we can take refuge in Christ. St. Paul in Romans also says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Our minds can be renewed. We need to have minds that enlighten our souls so that we are lights in the darkness, so that other people around us see something that's different. This country is as if we're in a car, like Thelma Louise, driving straight for the cliff at full speed, and we're getting ready to go off the bridge into a moral and spiritual abyss. But what we need to make sure as Christians is that we are not going along for the ride. We can't be conformed to this world. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that the eyes of our soul see clearly and we will be filled with the light of Christ. And come what may, if we are illumined by the light of Christ and hold on to the anchor of our faith, we won't be swept away by the evil that's around us. So we need to pray for our nation that God will be merciful, that he will forgive us our many sins and give us another chance. But regardless of what may happen to America, we know that the Lord knows how to take care of his own, and he will see us through either flood or fire until we find our eternal rest in him if we are faithful to him. Amen.